With our series, as you probably guessed from the scripture reading tonight in Hebrews chapter 11, the heroes of faith. And tonight we'll be talking about Abraham. In fact, there's so much that's said about Abraham here in Hebrews, we're going to split this up into two different lessons, but want to look specifically here at verses 8 through 16, what is said about Abraham. Familiar passage, Abraham's story is familiar to us as well, but Abraham, when he was called out to a place as an inheritance, he set out not knowing where he was going, and he did all these things by faith, uprooting his family, and certainly there's a lot that Brennan read in this passage, as we'll see as we go through the lesson tonight. In verse 8 of Hebrews chapter 11, it says, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out not knowing where he was going." So he set out going to a place that would be an inheritance. It was a place that was sight unseen. In fact, you know, he had never previously seen the land where God was asking him to move. He didn't actually know where he was going. And, you know, I've heard from time to time, in fact, Dan Finley, one of the people that attends at Vestavia, he and I were together yesterday, and he was telling me about taking his family on a trip out west, and he didn't tell his family where they were going. And he tried not to tell them because they kept pestering him to death about where it was that they were going. Finally, on the day before they went out west, he had to tell them because they needed to know what kind of clothes to take. He said, "Well, you just need to take a bunch of everything." And so that wasn't good enough for the ladies. And so, you know, you think about what Abraham did. Not only did he pack up and go, he went somewhere where he didn't know he was going. And I know a lot of times people would like to kind of surprise their family and just get in the car, get on a plane and go somewhere and nobody knows where they're going. But I don't think that hardly ever works out because somebody wants to know for some reason. But here Abraham did exactly that. God told him to go, and he went. And so you can imagine the Lord coming to us and asking us to leave our relatives, move our family, go to some place that we've never been before, packing up the moving van and just driving until God says to stop driving. One thing that's interesting about this passage is that the Greek tense of this sentence tells us that Abraham acted with a very prompt obedience. And I know sometimes parents will tell children that slow obedience is no obedience, but Abraham was a person that responded with very prompt obedience. He didn't wait around to make this decision about whether or not he was going to obey God's call to move to this land that was unseen. He didn't take time in this decision to figure out if he was going to do what God says. God said it, he was doing it. That's the idea here in the tense of this, that as soon as God said it, Abraham was doing it. God said move, and Abraham went in the house and started packing. And that is really an aspect of what true faith looks like. When we looked at the life of Abel, we saw that true faith worships God properly in the way that God would have us to worship. And we try to do that in our worship. That's one reason why people of the world consider us to be so different in the way that we worship. And it's not that we're trying to be different. It's that we are trying to do this worship according to God's will. Not for the sake of being different, but for the sake of being true to what God would have us to do. And so we need to understand that point. And so trusting God means that I do what God says as soon as I know what it is that He wants me to do. We saw the same thing in the life of Noah, that faith obeys even when the commands don't seem logical. Because what Noah was asked to do didn't fit any circumstance that Noah had ever seen before. But God told him to build the ark, and that's what he did. When we looked at Enoch, we saw that true faith obeys even when nobody else is doing what's right. Because Enoch was the one that was pointed out as being different and one that was walking with God. Again, these are examples of what true faith is. And Abraham's true faith is a faith that obeys immediately. And so that's what we need to do in our lives as well. He also had true trust in God. If somebody that you trust asks you to do something, you're more apt to do it. And because of his reaction to what God asked him to do, we can tell that he trusts God. And he lived in the land of promise as a foreigner. If you look in verses 9 and 10, by faith, he stayed for a time in the land which he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to that city that had foundations, whose architect and builder is God. So there's a comparison there of this temporary situation, living in tents, with the true foundation, or the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. So he lived in this land of promise as a foreigner. And this really means a home didn't really feel like home or look like home. Rather than being given the land immediately, Abraham had to live like a stranger. He had to live like a stranger in a land that he didn't know. They lived in tents, and a tent is a temporary structure. And I wonder how many of us would be upset by being told to live in a tent. Ethan's the only one that would not be upset. But everybody else would probably be upset that they would be told to live in a tent. And it's because it's so temporary. People would say, well, you made us leave our comfortable home and our relatives to live here. Would we waver in our trust for God once we saw that this is the result? I left home for this. And I think that's a point that sometimes we overlook when we look at what Abraham did. I don't really know what Abraham's home life and his house was like when he left. But you think about what he's doing here, living in a land as a foreigner in a tent. And so Abraham's not immediately given the promise. It's promised to his descendants. Abraham's not around, and we'll talk more about this later, but the things that were promised to Abraham came way down the road to his descendants. So how did Abraham endure this? Well, he had to have faith. He had to have full trust in God when he was dwelling in tents in the land. And the reason that he was able to do it is found in verse 10. The reason he could live in this temporary situation, it says, for he looked forward to that city that had foundations, whose architect and builder is God. So Abraham was good at seeing what was not seen. And we've certainly noticed that in the classes that we've had looking in the Old Testament. And that's what faith is all about. It's about seeing something that's not seen. Abraham was not concerned that he was living in a tent. He was looking forward to a city that had foundations, and looking for a city that was designed and built by the chief architect, built by God. So the point is, Abraham's eyes were not on the earth. Abraham's eyes were not on these temporal tents. He was not concerned about that. And the question for us is, would it matter to us? Would it matter to us that we were living like a stranger in the land? Would that matter to you? Well, Abraham set his eyes on something that he hadn't seen. He set his eyes on what was his real home. And this life, this world, these possessions, that's not really our home. And we'll talk more about that in just a minute. Also, he trusted in God and showed that he could expect the impossible, or what seemed to be impossible. Because all things are possible with God. Verse 11, by faith, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old. And Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, and as many as the stars of heaven, as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. So the Hebrew writer tells us this amazing story about Abraham and Sarah being able to have a child. And the point here is that Sarah was barren. Abraham's body also was too old to have children, yet they did. And they had Isaac. How old were they when this happened? Well, Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90. And when God told Abraham that his offspring would be as numerous as the stars of the sky, the scriptures record in Genesis 15, verse 6, Abram believed the Lord and credited it to him as righteousness. So, you know, sometimes people have a hard time believing something that's very improbable. And of course, we know that Sarah laughed when she heard about this. But you consider that God can do what's impossible. And that's what the Hebrew writer is saying about Abraham. That even though this did not seem probable, it seemed impossible in the eyes of men. And certainly, you know, God waiting so long to fulfill that promise of the child to them, you know, underscored that point with them that God was doing this. That it was not possible, but with God it was. So do we really believe that God can do what seems to be impossible? You know, we should have the true faith that believes that God can do anything, even if it seems impossible to us. And that really should help Abraham to surrender his life to God because of what God has done. And obviously that applies to us as too, that if we trust God, we can surrender our lives to Him. There are many things that we can't do. And we understand that when we feel powerless, when we feel helpless, we need to turn things over to God. We need to pray to Him. There are so many things that we can't do, but God can. And how many times, you know, can doctors not explain some of the recoveries that we see that people have? That people that are believers in Christ and that are Christians, the power of prayer is something that we see all the time. And, you know, it's interesting to me how sometimes we seem to be afraid to give God credit for that. And I don't know why. I think it's because we know that there was an age of miracles and that there were signs and wonders that were done to confirm the word. But when we hear of the good news of somebody being healed, we hear of the good news of somebody that thought that their prognosis was very grim, but then it turned around and the doctors can't explain why, but they're very happy that things did improve. We need to give God the glory for that. And, you know, we just need to have that recognition that God can do what doesn't seem believable to many people. I love the example of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and their attitude when they're about to be thrown into the fiery furnace. It's one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, in Daniel chapter 3, verse 17, when they say to those that are about to put them in the fire, if this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. And that is a powerful example of faith in that they are saying, you know, whatever God decides to do, whether He decides to save us or not, You're not the king. You're not the one that we bow down to. And that is the attitude that we need to have. Yes, God can do the unbelievable, but you know, if things don't work out the way that we want to, whether it be sickness or whatever the situation may be in our life, we need to understand that God is the one that is in control, and we can believe that God is able to save. And God did save them, but if He hadn't saved them, you know, they knew that God was able to do it if He wanted to, but they said, we're going to have faith in Him regardless. And that true faith in God is really exhibited in that kind of attitude. Another thing that Abraham did is he looked forward, not looking at present circumstances, but he was looking forward. Verses 13 through 16. All of these died in faith, without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. For people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. So the writer of Hebrews, in this description about Abraham, he makes this important point that they all died in faith. What does that mean? It means the things that they had faith in did not come to pass yet. They died in faith without having seen the thing. They didn't see the things that they had faith in. And because we know that faith passes away when we go to heaven, because we won't need faith anymore. It will be there. And so they died in faith, which means they did not see any of the things that God had promised to them. And so the Hebrew writer makes a big point about that, that they did not receive the promises. That happened later. So Abraham is really a perfect illustration of that, because he didn't see the land occupied by his family. Abraham didn't see that his descendants became as numerous as the stars in the sky. But all of these heroes of faith were able to see those things because they were able to see the unseen. Abraham saw it in his mind. He saw it through his faith, but it hadn't transpired yet. So they looked into the distance. All these heroes of faith looked into the future, and they knew that God would keep his promises. They all confessed that they were strangers and they were foreigners on the earth. Why could they do that? Why did they not focus on the here and now? That's real easy to see. It's not easy to see the future, but that's what they looked at. Because their home, the home here, is just physical. But they all acknowledged that the world was not their home. They looked for something better. They looked for that heavenly country. The world is not the thing that they were thinking about. They were thinking about where they were going. And I know that we all see that point, because it's something that we talk about a lot. It's the way that we're able to put up with a lot of the things that we see in this life and try to look toward the future and know that whatever struggles and things that we go through are going to be worth it in the end. But it's a lot easier to preach that than it is to live it. If they were thinking of the land that they left, it would have been in their minds to go back. That's what the Hebrew writer says. If they were thinking about the here and now, they might as well just go back home, because this is hard. You know, they're not seeing the reward. They're not seeing what it is that's into the future. But they didn't do that. They didn't even think about what they left behind. They thought about that city that was built by God. And one thing that's really interesting here in verse 16, I really, honestly, had not ever considered this before, but this phrase, therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. Well, you know, what a statement that is. God is not ashamed to be called their God. You know, all of us would want that to be said about us, right? We would all want God to look down on us and say, I'm glad to be Randy's God or Gary's God or Rex's God or Michael's God. Because it's a beautiful picture of God not being ashamed of any one of us. Why? Because they were all looking toward that city that was designed and built by God for them. And they were not disappointed. They knew that God had prepared that for them. And the writer of Hebrews really emphasizes the vision of these heroes of faith. And really specifically draws that out here. That these are people that didn't receive their promise in their physical life. That was all in the future where their vision was set. And if our vision is set to things on the earth, you know, I don't want to live in a tent. You know, I want God's promise to be given to me now. And that's why you see many people following after health and wealth type of gospel preaching today. I won't call it gospel preaching, just health and wealth preaching. And it's not true. It focuses on the temporal instead of the future. And it twists scriptures to people's ruin. So that's why the ministries of health and wealth are popular, because people want God's promises now. But these, Hebrews says, that they died without receiving their promises. Their eyes were not on what God was going to do right now. Their eyes were on that eternal city that was designed and built by God. A heavenly country is what they wanted. There is a song in our book called "This World Is Not My Home." Anybody here ever heard of that? I'll give you one guess whose favorite song that is. But "This World Is Not My Home, I'm Just Passing Through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore." Do we really think about that when we sing it? Is it something that we can really say and honestly mean it? Or do we realize that this is temporary, that we're basically living in the tents now, and later is the real thing? Can we seriously say that we're not tied to this world and that we're just passing through? I think sometimes we seem to think like we've camped out on this earth, you know, permanently, living life as if there's nothing else awaiting us after this life. Can we honestly say that our treasures are laid up in a city with eternal foundations rather than here in the world? We have to think about, you know, what do I spend so much of my effort on? Do I spend all of my effort on things in this world? Or am I really thinking about things that are off in the future? But one of the words in that song is, you know, "Lord, what will I do? What will I do?" You know, if all that can be done in this life is said and done, you know, what happens next? What preparation have I made? You know, suppose you live your life your way and you get everything that you think you can from this life. You know, what have you accomplished? When we think about things of this world, we sometimes forget that it's just temporary. We need to be thinking about the future, like Abraham and his family. I love what the Hebrew writer says about them not looking back, because if they had been thinking about this world, they would have gone back. But they were thinking about what was off in the future. We need to be thinking about the land that we're going to. Our minds need to be on things of this world that we can do to prepare for the next world. That's the way that we use this world. And we can make sacrifices the Lord requires when we keep our minds on the things of heaven, looking forward to that reward. We're going to close this lesson here tonight, and next week we're going to look at the next part of the life of Abraham, because another one of my favorite stories of Abraham is when he was tested to offer up his son Isaac. It's a very touching story, a very emotional story, but there's some very big points to be made about what Abraham did and how that really coincides and parallels to what God did for us in offering up, being willing to offer up his son for us. God's love was so great that he was willing to give up his son. Abraham's love for God was so great that he was willing to give up his son when God asked him to do it. God stopped him before it happened, but God allowed his son, Jesus, to die for us so that we can have remission of sins, so that people like Abraham and everybody else can look forward to that city. That city was purchased with the blood of Christ. That's why we have the hope of going to that eternal city in the future, to be together in heaven for eternity with one another and all the saints of all the world. Let's make sure that we are preparing to do that very thing. If we can help you in any way, we'd invite you to come while we stand and sing.